Brian Had a Dream, 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hello once again, I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome to the quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. His next movie, my next movie, is Black Panther. This episode is our preview review of that film that is already making gazillions of dollars and is rated very highly on Rotten Tomatoes. There will be spoilers in this episode, so if you would like to see Black Panther spoiler free, maybe listen to this after you see the film. If you want to join this conversation, also I remind you to go to Brian's Twitter at 10kmovies, T-E-N-K movies, or on Brian's blog 10kmovies.com, and let us know what you think about the movie, what excites you, what negatives you may have had for the film as well. Brian, let's just start with, what are you feeling, how are you feeling about this film?
Well, I'm excited to see it. I mean, it seems to be hitting all the right notes. I've heard very little negative about it, and the negative I have heard has been obviously kind of ridiculous, like they're trying to find something negative to say. But I'm most excited because Black Panther is not a character that I really am deeply familiar with. When I was growing up, you sort of chose DC or Marvel, and I was reading DC comic books, so I didn't really read a lot of Marvel. And the only Marvel characters I was aware of were the big ones, like, you know, Spider-Man, and aware of Captain America, didn't really know a lot about him even. Black Panther was just not a character that was really on my radar up until the buzz started about him joining the MCU.
Well, let me tell you, as a kid who read every single comic he could get his hands on, like a fat kid eats cake, I do know something about Black Panther. And I was thinking about it as we were gearing up for this episode, is how would you describe Black Panther as a character in the comics? And again, it always depends on who's writing the comic, but I think it's this combination of Batman, Iron Man, and Captain America, somehow all into one. You know, there's this national hero part of it. There's this sort of man in black, like Batman, this kind of dark, brooding Avenger about it. But then there's also this thing where he's like super smart and sometimes kind of a dick about it, just
now,
like Iron Man is.
From what I have read, it's his sister that's going to be super smart in this movie. Like, she's the one that is building things that put Tony Stark to shame, and she's just like genius. I'm really excited because I think this movie kind of opens up this cinematic universe to some political elements, not just real world politics that, you know, where it can mirror life or whatever, but the fact that now you have these different sort of nations that can communicate within the, and that dynamic, how that might affect the superhero dynamic, could be interesting.
Well, and I think that's where Black Panther really started getting buzz, even before it was going to be part of the Marvel Universe. Before that, there was that announcement that they were going to feature this character. The author, Ta-Nehisi Coates,
had a run on Black Panther.
It may still be writing bits and pieces. I actually have that comic downloaded. I haven't read it yet, in part because I don't know if that's maybe part of what's going to be adapted in this film, and so I don't want to spoil it for myself. But I think you're exactly right. I think that Coates added some clout because of his own genius. And I think what he brought to it was the sense of, here's a character that is primed to talk about a lot of things going on in our culture right now, be it about race, be it about the heavy responsibilities of government, be it about legacy. That's the thing I've kind of gotten so far from trailers and things of the movie, since his father, spoiler alert, died in Captain America: Civil War. There's a sense where he's trying to deal with, you know, how does the new generation kind of take on? I think that's something that's part right now of our cultural conversation. I think the as you said, the sister going to be probably a standout character in this film.
Raises
questions again about gender roles, women's empowerment, and those sorts of issues. So I do too. I think it stands as just a fascinating possibility in a way that maybe elevates superhero movies into a different level, a different type of conversation than they maybe have been before.
And another reason I'm excited is it means that we have no movies between us and Infinity War. Like, that's another reason that it's super exciting, because it feels like this countdown that we've been sort of in our heads counting down the movies for 2 or 3 years. We're right around the corner. And, you know, and it's so funny because Marvel, you know, people made fun of them a couple years ago when they announced, like 30 films that were coming out. They gave you the name. And they've been real coy about telling you what you know they have those plans. You know they know what movies are coming, but they won't tell you, because even the titles of the movies would be spoilers to what's going to happen in Infinity War. So, you know, we can finally get some of that debt cleared and we know what direction they're going in.
Are there any things about the movies? You said you've heard really just only a couple of negative things. It seemed like people trying to find negative things. I haven't read anything at all about the film. But I will say one, I don't even know if it's concern. It's something I'm nervous about. Mainly because I love the actor so much. I love Michael B. Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a little concerned, you know, is his role as the villain, is it going to be like a lot of the other Marvel villains where it's a little underwhelming? Is he going to get some criticism like he got for what was, by all accounts, a horrible film in Fantastic Four? I'm a little nervous or curious about that.
From what I understand, it's closer to a Bucky type, in the sense that you know that he's going to be around for a while, or maybe even a Loki type, where, yeah, he's a villain, but he's not a villain that they're going to vanquish and move on from. You know, it's not going to be like the villains in the first 2 or 3 Iron Man movies, where they serve their purpose and we're never going to see them again. He's going to be incorporated into the larger story.
I think I'm nervous, too, just the hair and that sort of thing. That seems to be the one visual from the clips and footage that you've seen. Yeah, it just, I don't know. It's just sort of a little, my personal taste, like that looks a little funny. Where everything else is like, ooh, wow, ah, you know. But
yeah.
Again, that's just personal taste.
Yeah.
I should also say, though, I'm excited about Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm glad to hear you say that about the Loki comparison, because I kind of think he's the best actor since Tom Hiddleston to play a villain in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So that is exciting. Well, we should probably count Michael Keaton's Vulture too, but in sort of the Marvel Prime, maybe, films.
Yeah. And Vulture's coming back, I think. I don't think Vulture's going anywhere. I think he'll be back, at least in some capacity, in the second Spider-Man movie.
I do think Andy Serkis, who plays Claw, he's going to be great.
And even though I don't know how big, I think he plays a bigger role in this movie than he has in previous films, but Martin Freeman, his role is sort of expanding within this universe, is being sort of the go-to guy for government, you know, U.S. government involvement, which in some ways, after they sort of jettisoned S.H.I.E.L.D. and Nick Fury sort of went underground, the government hasn't really been represented very much.
That's true.
So it'd be nice to see, because, you know, I would like to think that the one of the world's remaining superpowers would care about what's going on when a massive alien is about to invade Earth, but, you know, maybe not.
So usually at this point we try to make a couple of predictions about this film, which is really hard for me, again, because I know so little about it. So it feels like all of mine would be complete shots in the dark. Do you have any things that you maybe want to predict?
The movie itself won't, but I think I'd be shocked if they didn't. From what I understand, there are 2 post-credit scenes. I don't know what they are. I haven't read what they are. I just know there are 2. One of them will be a definitive, like, teaser for Infinity Wars. And one of them will be a stage setter. And it'll have to be.
Well, that So my first prediction, that kind of triggered one for me. I'm going to predict that Nick Fury will appear in one of the post-credit
scenes. That's a good. It feels like an opportune time to remind everyone that Samuel L. Jackson is in this universe. So, yeah, I like that.
It does. The other prediction I'll make, too, is that somehow I think there's one remaining Infinity Stone. Maybe there's two. But maybe an Infinity Stone will pop up somehow in Wakanda. So I'll say that one, too. Do you have a second one?
I don't really know enough. I mean, I don't really know enough about the what I expect to happen. Even I am really going into this as blank a slate as I could.
Well, I think that is really, really exciting, honestly, because we just don't know what to predict and what'll happen, and so we can really probably, since Guardians of the Galaxy, this may be a film that you kind of go in with just completely open mind. I will say, too, one of the other things that maybe I'm nervous about is, you know, this movie feels like this is going to be an astonishing movie. It's going to be a visually exciting movie. I don't know how it's going to incorporate some of that trademark humor of the Marvel Universe. And it feels like a movie that is a lot more serious than some of the other ones have been, especially some of the more recent standalone solo character films like Ant-Man, or like Thor. An ensemble like Guardians or Spider-Man Homecoming,
or even Thor Ragnarok.
Right. So that's just something that'll be curious to see what happens in this film.
It feels like a movie that will be closer in tone to Captain America Winter Soldier than Thor Ragnarok.
Right, and even sort of a movie in some ways that will feel, you know, kind of like an epic, you know, like, you know, I might be crossing genres too much here, but maybe like a Lords of the Rings or a Game of Thrones type of feel. I don't know. That's just kind of what it strikes me as, just in kind of seeing, again, really mainly only trailers. So, well, let's stop our preview there and move on to going and getting some popcorn and some drinks, and then our review on the other side. Spoiler alert already, Brian and I are really going to love this movie. It's a Marvel movie. We know it's going to be good. So we will try to. We promised you, listeners, that we will try to, even in the abundance of our praise, also try to be a little more nuanced with our comments, maybe than before, to say how it adds to the story and why you should go see it. So we will see you on the other side of this.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, we are back from Black Panther. Reminder that spoilers will be involved on this part of the podcast. Brian, first impressions?
Very good. I'm gonna have to look to see where it falls in the overall Marvel pantheon, but suffice it to say, it's nearing the upper echelon.
Yeah, this movie to me feels like the first time in a long time with Marvel movies, and maybe the first ever. Really compact, integral story. A superhero movie where the points seem to be more about other themes and ideas than necessarily just the spectacle, the awesome spectacle, the fun spectacle of a superhero film. The first movie that had enough integrity to kind of stand on its own merits. This movie couldn't have been done without the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it, in a lot of ways, sort of unfolded independently of a lot of that universe, too, and did that more successfully than I think I would have thought it capable of doing, even though I had high expectations coming in. What do you think about that? What did this movie do that felt particularly new or fresh in these films to you?
Well, I mean, obviously, the big question everybody had, you know, and it felt different just because the cast was predominantly non-white. There were only two major characters with any sort of like substantive role that were white, and one of those was the unabashed bad guy of the film. So it felt, you know, it obviously that was going to feel different because it's something we haven't seen in a superhero movie or in a Marvel movie. We've seen black superheroes, but we haven't seen a movie that was dominated and just about people and just about people of color. So that's the first thing that you have to talk about here, and say that felt different. But other than that, it really did. It built a world. I mean, Wakanda was... the world of Wakanda opens up all sorts of possibilities. I love the interlocking kind of ways in which each tribe is its own sort of nation within Wakanda, and how that could open the door for further exploration. I could see down the line, you know, you can go in numerous different directions. And the ending of the movie, when they are introducing and going to share their vibranium technology to the world, is potentially a game changer moment within the series.
Right. And I think that all plays into what the overall theme of this movie was, right? Which is identity-based, who are you? Who are you as an individual? Who are you as a nation? We said this movie seems to come at the right time in a lot of different ways. Obviously, that is a conversation going on in our culture right now.
At the same
time, political life.
At the same time, I think the reason... I mean, this movie doesn't just happen to come at the right time. Making this movie helped create the right time. I mean, I think that's part of the snowballing effect is they build on each other. It's not, you know, it's not just they happen to... Marvel helped create this moment by putting the Black Panther in motion. And by putting that character in Civil War, they helped, in their own way, to snowball and create this massive cultural moment. And I was telling Ben before we went in, I've been to a lot of superhero movies. And this movie, I would say it was right at 50-50, maybe, the representation in the theater. And that has not been the case when I've seen a lot of them. And it felt... It just felt different because of that.
Yeah, and the themes and the things it did, I thought, handled them with a very sophisticated, mature touch where I don't think they hammered anybody's head over with it. Everything felt very natural, very organic. The pacing, the plotting, you know, it was really... As you said, they packed in a lot of information in a relatively short amount of time.
It felt like two or three movies in one. And as far as the representation, particularly, I mean, even though these people are African people in Wakanda in the middle of Africa, most of their point of view dealt with primarily probably African-American experience. That was what they were talking about, even if they weren't talking about, that's what they were talking about. And that's because it's coming, even if it's set there, it's still coming out of an American, and particularly an African-American experience. I felt like they gave voice to so many different opinions and ways of looking at the problem and ways of thinking about the problem, and they didn't really give any particular voice dominance over in the other, but you heard a lot of different ideas, you heard a lot of different ways in which people were impacted, and that was helpful to see that it's not just a... you know, one side versus one side issue, that there is a multitude of both reactions and feelings and possibly solutions, and they did a great job of showcasing that.
And when you're saying problems, I think what you're meaning is just the challenges we have
exactly in
our culture, in our society, with race and how we continue to deal with that sin of our country.
Well, and all of our responsibility for it. I think that was part of what was clear too. Because T'Challa, towards the end of the film, he's like, all of these people are my people. Like, I'm not just, you know, because there was this great divide over should we just bury our heads in the sand and worry about our own and let everybody else sort of fend for themselves, or should we arm them, or should we try to train them up, or should we try to aid them? And that was in a lot of ways, that was one of the big central questions in the movie, was do we turn inward or do we turn outward?
Well, also, though, being real about the particular challenges, the particular biases, the real parts of where you do have to acknowledge the truth. Uh-huh. You can't hide things. And so, to me, when you are tackling issues of race and the sins of racism, there were even allusions to slavery and how that all connects. It was just, it was handled, in my opinion, really masterfully. What is unfortunate, I think, in this conversation, Brian, is that we're two white dudes talking about this, and we don't have friends of color that we are maybe discussing this film with, so our own expressions here are limited. So it would be really interesting, and it's going to be really interesting. I know one of the things I will do when I start looking now at reviews of the film is to really try to take a look at what people of different races and backgrounds, gender, are saying about the movie and how they are taking it in and responding to it, because I think that's an important part of the conversation too, and to see where something that I think maybe was really important or significant, maybe someone else who has a different background, who actually grew up with the type of experience that was being depicted, how they felt about the authenticity of it. But
I think this goes to the power of what Marvel's doing too, is that it can speak to people from a lot of different ethnicities and backgrounds and have a message that they can carry. And I think part of that message is that we do... one of the main messages, I think, that comes from T'Challa's father in his action from 20-something years ago, 30 years ago, is that we should be aware of what our actions will do to others and aware of those who are affected by our actions, and not just leave them alone and leave them behind, but take responsibility for... We create problems when we don't take into account how our actions will affect those around us.
You know, and it's funny you say that, and it makes me think that probably was kind of the theme also of Civil War, Captain America Civil War, but we didn't end up talking about those kind of things a lot after Civil War. It was more about, oh, what's coming next, and what film's next. This film, I think, you know, you've heard some of the reviews already, you know, this is a game changer, it's amazing, and I think this is why. Again, I think the conversation that can spill out from this is going to be bigger than the superhero genre. And, you know, you said before in our preview part, you know, that's one movie down, now we get to Infinity War. And yes, that's exciting. Yes, we did see the title card, Black Panther and Infinity War. But to me, this movie served
a larger purpose.
Right.
And I'll say this too, and even... going outside of the social ramifications of what this film can mean, in a cultural moment, and it's a big one, or it feels like it could be a big one, Marvel is very shrewdly, I mean, you could not have asked for a better bump in their business model, because what they've done is, by making this movie so much a part now of an African-American experience, and so much of a cultural moment within that community, I know there are people that were in the theater today that I doubt they've ever been to a Marvel movie before. I mean, they don't look like they, you know what I'm saying? They were older, they were a different race than I've really seen represented in that. So I think, and Marvel was smart in saying, okay, let's wall this movie off in a way and not bore them, and not, they don't feel like they have to know all this. They're starting here, let's let them break in here. Marvel may have just created a whole new market for their films. Maybe not on purpose, maybe an accidental thing, but that's a huge,
right?
Huge.
Well, I won't presume the folks in the theater who may or may not have been to see a lot of Marvel movies before, based on age or race, but I think that you're trying to say, in some ways, is that Marvel was smart in realizing this may be the first exposure that a lot of people have to this character,
mm-hmm.
and also... this may draw in people who are completely new and are drawn to this for different reasons than because it's the next Marvel movie. So I think I agree with maybe that kind of part of your point. A couple of things I will say, just disappointed in. I'm disappointed that both villains seem to die. Loved Andy Serkis as Claw. He was just really funny.
He was having so much fun.
And amazing. Michael B. Jordan was, I think, a fully formed villain with a lot of motivation. He did really well. I wish that he did not die. And maybe there's a way that he comes back.
Well,
there's probably a way they could
bring him
create
back.
The
Claw
story.
Claw is gone. Claw, like, that would be hard.
Really, That'll be hard to bring
that
one
back.
Claw really looks going. So I'll say I was disappointed with that.
You had said you would hope maybe there was a Sam Jackson reference or Sam Jackson.
Yeah,
appearance.
No Sam Jackson appears. That prediction went
although
awry.
I think you could have, you could have conceivably put him in the role that Martin Freeman played of Roth, and it would have been, it wouldn't have been much different, I don't think.
Right.
But what I do think it helped having him, because he was a different race as well, a different, you know, country of origin, it helped make him more of an outsider in that group, and that helped the dynamic.
And I'll say one really good thing they did is they made T'Challa's decision to bring Wakanda out in the open, one that was not because of a friendship with Martin Freeman. That might have been a factor, but they never spoke about that. That, mm-hmm. that could have felt really odd. Because
yeah.
that would have been sort of
being co-opted.
A white man, whitewashing part
yeah,
of that.
I agree. They let it be his own sort of self-discovery and self-actualization, and it was completely, he was the one in charge of the decision, and that, you're right, that was a good...
In a lesser movie, I don't think would have made that
choice. A DC
choice.
Movie wouldn't have done that. Let's be fair.
One last thing. This is also the first Marvel movie in a while that I feel like I want to go back and really see again in the theater, mm-hmm. because I feel like there's stuff that I'll appreciate more on a second viewing, and I really have patience and energy and a desire to do that. As much as I've loved some of these others, I really haven't necessarily been just like chomping at the bit to get back in the theater. I really do want to go see this one again.
Well,
so I think that's quite an achievement in and of itself.
Let's say this, 2018, the bar has been set. Let's see what the rest of you have to bring to the table.
All right, well, we'll end our conversation there. Go see Black Panther, and then tell us what you think on Twitter at 10kmovies, Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.